It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to apologize to Megan.
Yeah.
We ready to bring her on?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, all right. Well, good morning. Megan, we'll edit all that stuff out here. Megan O'Hall, USA Today. We haven't talked to you in a few weeks, and as we get ready for the WNBA playoffs.
Starting today.
How are you, and what you been up to?
First of all, thank you guys so much for having me, and thank you for the intro mix. Listen, I feel like royalty around here.
Okay.
I am living the dream, as the kids say.
See? She don't need the intro music. She don't need it. She's living the dream.
She's good. And we're getting down to playoff time.
Can I ask a little right off the top? Because, listen, we could dissect and bring up a number of names, but you're sitting down with somebody right now who wants you to kind of capsulize this season in total. How would you go about explaining this WNBA season to somebody, given everything from start to finish? What happened?
I'll give you two words: historic and wild.
Okay.
That's probably the best I got. We had a lot of records broken, whether it's attendance or on the court. And then there was a lot of drama, just different storylines, people new to the WNBA space, old fans, new fans. Yeah, it was a wild season, but in a good way.
It's like a supernova. That's what I look at it. Like, there's now a new planet. But the supernova, it had to explode. It had to have all the stuff that she's talking about.
Right.
Didn't make any sense when it was going on, but that's how you form a star.
Yeah.
So all the gases came together, and now it's cooling. And we go get cooling. Our
stuff. I like that.
You like that?
But it's playoff time now. Come on now. And let's start with our home team here in Atlanta. Made us wait right down to the very last game to see if they were going to make it in. And as their reward, they got to start up in New York. But, you know, talk about our team and – you know, what can they do up in New York against a team that has the best record in the league?
Yeah, so I wrote a piece right before, or really right after the Olympic break. Atlanta was 7-17 before the second half of their season. And, you know, I was talking with someone. I'm like, man, they're probably going to have to play, like, pretty flawless, you know, to get in. Or, you know, pray to the basketball gods that a team likely in or very unlikely unravels, right? And oddly enough, Atlanta did what it needed to do. It wasn't pretty, but what they did do was win their last three games, and that helped them out a lot. Unfortunately for Chicago, they dealt with a number of injuries that just didn't help them. And the Mystics, I think they had a chance to probably snag that eighth spot, but splitting the trip with Atlanta, or splitting those last two games with Atlanta, especially that overtime game, I think kind of pushed them out of the whole thing. Atlanta did what it needed to do in the second half of the season by winning more games against teams that were over 500, and that's what helped them kind of land in that eighth spot and stay there. And really and truly, you know, I think it was fantastic to see them scrape all of that together and go to the playoffs. I won't even lie to you. There was a moment where I was like, is this even going to happen? Because things were just not great, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I'll say this. I would give a lot of credit to Tanisha Wright and her squad for powering through it. Give a ton of credit to, of course, the starters. But Atlanta's bench has been through it this season, and they've answered the call as well. So it's just really good to see this team put everything together. And of course, you know, like Sam said, they were rewarded by, you know, playing New York. But, you know, like I told someone on Thursday, I wouldn't count Atlanta out against the series. They match up with New York actually very well. And as you saw on Thursday, in the first half and really up until probably the early third, they were taking it to New York. Their starters versus New York starters, and there was a comfortable lead up to 20 at one point.
Megan, can you take a second and for our audience expand on that a little bit more, telling them a little bit more about the Liberty?
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So one thing that I always tell people about New York Liberty is they have buckets for days. And I mean that anybody can drop buckets. And what I mean by that is they're very good in the mid-range, but they're also fantastic from the three-point range. So if you're going to play with the Liberty, you've got to come with the scoring. The other thing for them is they're very good defensively. Sabrina Ionescu has been a really good defender this year compared to previous years underneath her. And then Breonna Stewart is just a pest on both sides of the ball along with Jonquel Jones. And even their bench is really, really good, can score buckets at will. So if you're going to hang with New York Liberty, you've got to be able to withstand the punches from them. And here's one more thing for the New York Liberty is that they are a really good second half team. So if, even if you're up in the first half, they're able to erase leads with no problem. That is just them. They're very resilient. And I think for them, they still have some pretty bad taste in their mouth from last year of losing the WNBA finals and watching the Aces celebrate on their home floor. So, yeah, if you're going to go through New York, good luck to you. And that's the same thing for Atlanta. Good luck to you. You got to bring your A game with playing against the Liberty.
Yeah, if they can steal one of those games up there, they for their force a third game, and they get to come back home Thursday night to play a third game. This will be game three. Folks, spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Megan L. Hall. And she is social. You can find her at It's Megan L. Hall. It's Megan L. Hall. She's with USA Today. You know, I, the playoffs are starting today. I kind of wish they would start them tomorrow for whatever reason. You just going head-to-head with the NFL, but that's the way the schedule's laid out. That's the way they have the arenas all set out and the network deals with ABC and with ESPN for this Sunday. The Dreams game's going to be at 1 o'clock. The 3 o'clock game is one I'm sure a lot of people – you know, want to watch because, but it's in the middle of the NFL games, and that is with Indiana and Connecticut. They want to see how Caitlin Clark performs in playoff. You know, this team has played better in the second half, and I think it's because she got that break during the Olympics, and they came back, and that team was a little bit fresher, I think, and that's what propelled them to have such a great second half of the schedule. I'm looking forward to this series, and they start today at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, this is my marquee matchup for the day. And I'll say this, I know a lot of people talk about Caitlin Clark on that team, and rightfully so. She is the massive engine that helps that team go. But I would also give a shout-out to Kelsey Mitchell. Yeah. Her and Caitlin are a fantastic backcourt duo. Both of them are averaging 19.2 points, which is just wild to think about. And Kelsey really has blossomed having Caitlin beside her because so much opens up. But, I always argue that I think Kelsey has kind of always been a little underrated. She's always been a bucket, but having that system that they have now under Chrissy's side, she's really been able to flourish. So, in my opinion, I think that the Fever, and really I'll rope in Aaliyah Boston too. That's a three-headed monster, as Becky Hammon, kind of described it, and she was right. If you're going to defend the Fever, good gracious, there's a lot of things happening that you've got to defend, and they score so fast, lightning quick. But I would say this, I think for the Sun, they're a fantastic matchup. Maybe it's just me and I love a little razzle dazzle, a little chaos, but give me Dejanay Carrington and Caitlin Clark matchups on a loop.
Yeah.
Because it is so intense. And there's something about watching Dejanay like either strip Caitlin of the ball or, poke a ball free and score the other end, and then Caitlin coming right back with a bucket, like a big three or something like that. Like, it's just great basketball. And I just love that. So I think it's going to be a really, really good series. I'm curious to see what version of Connecticut shows up. I've been calling them frauds all season long, and not because I think that they're incapable.
Right.
But I just think that they haven't played up to the standard that I think they should. They're a really talented team, and I think they've kind of been underwhelming in some spots. So I'm curious to see what happens today.
Megan's got me rethinking my question, Sam.
Okay.
Because I was going to come at this, actually a couple questions ago and ask this. Is this tournament Las Vegas's to lose? But given what she has talked about with the Liberty and these other teams, it seems like this chip could go to a few teams. Or is it still relevant? Is it the Aces to lose?
I will say this. I think on a technical standpoint, yeah, it's the Aces to lose, right? They're the back-to-back defending champions. But I think you have some really good challenges, right? The Liberty, you've got the Lynx. Those are the two that I feel like could upset this whole thing. I think what gets very interesting is that the Aces have been playing really good basketball as of late. One of the things that, you know, people have been screaming about, myself included, into the wind, is where is the rest of, you know, the Aces starters, because they have been so up and down since the Olympic break. And then where is the Aces bench? They hadn't, you know, scored the way that they needed to. But I think the last, I'll call it probably 5 or 6 games, they really have turned it on. And it's probably at a good time. So if I'm an Aces fan, like, I fully believe we could get back to the finals. And a big reason of that is obviously, you know, your starters have shown up in your bench, but it's Asia Wilson. I've said it all season long. Like, I'm not betting against Asia Wilson to take her team back to the finals. Do I think it could happen? Yeah. Would I be shocked if someone upset them? No, but it's anything goes in the playoffs. So, you know, the Aces could look a mess and they could haul off and surprise us all and go right back to the finals and win the whole daggone thing.
Megan, take a second, and really, I don't mind if you throw hyperbole in here or not, but we've been talking ad nauseum about Caitlin and Angel all season long. But let's take a second and have you explain what we are looking at when we talk about Asia Wilson. Not just the season that she had, but when you talk about the great players in this sport, in America, and I mean men's and women's, where does she in your mind land?
Oh, my goodness. To me, Asia is the best player in the entire WNBA, and it's not even close. I don't mean that to disrespect anybody else, but Asia is on another planet. And I think for her, the type of season that she's having is just incredible. I joke all the time, but whoever that person was that voted her fourth place in the MVP race last year, look what you did. Look what you did.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I'm going to pull some stats here, but Asia is first in points per game, field goals made, win shares, offensive rating, offensive win shares, player efficiency rating. She's first in blocks, first in rebounds, first in defensive win shares, and the only thing she's not first in is steals, and she's third there. Like, what, Asia Wilson? Like, she is having a season that's never been heard of in the WNBA or the NBA. Like, this is a season of historic proportions, and I'm sorry. I hate that it was ever even a conversation. This is no disrespect to Nafisa Collier, because she's having a wonderful season, but I hate that it was ever even a conversation about Asia not being unanimous MVP. Like, these stats are absurd. They don't even make sense for someone to be able to do this on a court. And it's not just the fact that she's almost a machine on the court. It's the way in which she scores. She's patient. She's effective with her scoring. She's also a menace on both sides of the ball. Like, you have to game plan for literally just Asia Wilson by herself and then the rest of the team. And I don't know that there's very many players that play like that now. And I know we talk a lot about Caitlin and Angel, but this is just absolutely wild to me. I watched Asia Wilson. I'm so sorry, Dream fans, if you're listening to this. I watched Asia Wilson last season score 53 in a game in Atlanta.
Right.
And my mind was blown then at, like, that someone could score that many points in a season or in a game, excuse me. But to watch her come back and put this season, like, together is just, yeah, it's otherworldly. I always run out of things to describe this woman because she's just incredible.
You know, Megan, I think she says, if the spotlight's going to come this season, then I'm going to dance in this spotlight. And I think that's really another thing that has really driven her. Yeah, she's driven to achieve anyway, but say, if the spotlight's going to be here, she's leaving no doubt, no question. And I think that's the way she's attacked this whole season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I had the pleasure of talking to Asia earlier this season, and we did a whole feature on, like, what is greatness and how do you define, you know, greatness, especially in the WNBA. And one thing that struck out to me is that Asia said, hey, I want to hang up banners. You know, I want my name to be among the greats. I want to say that I did those things. And I think for her, her ability to focus and her ability to just go out there and dominate regardless of what's happening around her is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw very recently, if you were able to see, there was a video that the Aces posted of Asia showing some vulnerability of just saying, like, hey, there's some days I hate being Asia Wilson. And that to me was a heavy statement, right? Like, hating to be Asia Wilson says a lot about what's on her shoulders that she doesn't speak about.
Right.
And so I think you know, for Asia, she's doing this with so much expectation, so much on her shoulders, and just showing out when the spotlight comes on. And that's what I told people. I'm like, listen, I know my picks. I know what I think could potentially happen.
Right, right.
But if I learned anything from last year when I thought the Liberty were going to win the whole thing, is do not bet against Asia Wilson.
There you go.
We'll watch for that.
Megan, thank you. As always, we will be back in touch with you. Not that the playoffs are up and running, but enjoy the rest of your day. And again, thank you as always for getting up and joining us.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.